Good morning. Our scripture comes from Psalm 61. Hear my cry, O God. Listen to my prayer. From the end of the earth, I call to you when my heart is faint. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I, for you have been my refuge, a strong tower against the enemy. Let me dwell in your tent forever. Let me take refuge under the shelter of your wings. For you, O God, have heard my vows. You have given me the heritage of those who fear your name. Prolong the life of the king. May his years endure to all generations. May he be enthroned forever before God. Appoint steadfast love and faithfulness to watch over him. So will I ever sing praises to your name as I perform my vows day by day. It's a beautiful psalm, thought to yet again be a prayer from David. We don't know for sure what circumstance he was facing. It could have been when his son Absalom committed treason against him, an insurrection, and David was temporarily dethroned. David had a relationship with God that went back to his childhood. David knew that prayer is a place. And he knew how to enter into the presence of God in the ways that he prayed. That's why praying in the Psalms can be an excellent way to spend time with God. You know, there's devotional times where we try to learn, you know, from a devotional, some insights that will help us in our day. But there's also those times that you can have with God as a person and talk to God as a person. And so we see David in these opening verses enter into God's presence with an honest, humble request. He doesn't presume that his prayer will magically happen. He talks to God like God is a person. He says, "Hear my cry, O God. And listen to my prayer. From the end of the earth, I call to you when my heart is faint." David is just amazingly honest with God, and he's saying that he is overwhelmed. He's in a time of his life where he's at the end of the rope, so to speak, the end of the earth. His heart is faint. He doesn't have much steam left. He's worn out. But he knows he has no option but to keep going. And so he reaches deep within his faith. And he says this. I love this line. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For you have been my refuge, a strong tower against the enemy. If you know the topography of Israel, you'll know that there's a lot of desert. But there's also places where you can get a higher view, a rock. as it were. Many years ago, when I was in seminary, I went to Israel on an archaeological dig. And one of my favorite things about that dig was in the evenings. Some of the participants of the dig would gather on a mound. But it wasn't really a rock. It was actually earth and dust and debris that had covered up an early Bronze Age wall. I mean, it was thousands of years old, this wall, and it was covered up, and it might as well have been a rock. And they would sit on this mound and sing worship songs in the evening under the night sky. And out there in the desert, the night sky was beautiful. You could see all the stars. And in the worship, amidst my friends, fellow people who were digging, our hearts bonded together. And our songs became like a prayer. And that mound that we sat on, it was a place of perspective. We could look down on the tents where we would sleep at night. We could look down on the place where we would get our meals, and the place where we would take showers, and across the valley we could see where the dig was, where we would start it every morning. And it gave us a sense of a perspective, like this is a time that will at some point be over, and all we'll have is a memory. And it, for me, it made me want to, like, Lord, help me make the most of this time. Help me to not just take for granted this experience. I think when we get overwhelmed with life, and believe me, digging in the desert can be very overwhelming. You can get health issues from low electrolytes. It's hard to work in that sun. It's hard to eat the kind of food that they have for you. You can get a stomach that doesn't quite agree with the food. And it's, you know, tempers flare. There's relationship issues. And it's overwhelming. And when you're overwhelmed, you lose perspective. But every night when we would gather on that mound, I could see things from a different light. And I could see what I wanted. I could see where I had failed and where I had succeeded. And I humbly asked God to lead me to a place where I would have God's perspective, God's wisdom. I asked the Lord to be my refuge, to be my strong tower against the enemy. What's the enemy? Being short-sighted. The enemy is being self-centered and short-sighted and losing our perspective. As followers of Christ, we need to keep the bigger picture in mind. Jesus, in Matthew 7, told the story of the man who built his house on the sand and the man who built his house on the rock. And when the storm came, the man who built his house on the sand found that his house would not withstand the storm. But the one who built his house on the rock, that house withstood the storm. And Jesus said that the one who built his house on the rock was somebody who had listened to his words and followed them. The words of Jesus will give you and I a perspective on how to live life. And Jesus told us to love our neighbor as ourselves. Jesus told us to do unto others as we would have them do unto us. Jesus told us to love the Lord with all our heart, mind, and soul. Jesus told us to pick up our cross and follow Him. Lord, help us to keep that perspective. Help us to not let anything else take your place. Let us always remember how precious each person in our life is. If we lose that perspective, then we've lost. You know, when Paul wrote 1 Corinthians, he talks about the gifts in 1 Corinthians 12. And the last sentence before he goes into the love chapter, 1 Corinthians 13, he says, "And now I show you a more excellent way." So often, I forget that 1 Corinthians 13 is the more excellent way. I don't care how gifted I am in my abilities to accomplish things, to do programs, to be an administrator, to make everybody think, wow. And the same goes for you. Because the more excellent way is the way of love, God's love. I'm not talking about namby-pamby love. I'm talking about God's love. He wants to love others through you. He wants you and I to give somebody in passing, even just a stranger, a cup of cold water in His name. This life will soon be over. I don't care if you live to be 150 years old. It's a short time compared to eternity. And the bigger perspective is, how can we live in such a way that we are letting Christ lead us and guide us? And that we aren't allowing ourselves to lose opportunities because we aren't seeing the bigger picture. Because we're overwhelmed. Are you overwhelmed? Do you know people who are overwhelmed? Do you need the Lord to help you? Do you need the Lord to lead you, to guide you to a rock that is higher than you? The nation of Israel, when they were in the desert, there was a rock, and it seemed to follow them around, and they were thirsty, and God tells Moses, strike the rock, and out of the rock came water, and it was enough water for the whole nation. It revived them, refreshed them. God's perspective will help us in those times where we're overwhelmed, to be revived, to be refreshed. Jesus said in John chapter 10, I come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. See, that water that came out of the rock symbolizes life. Jesus came to give us life and life more abundantly. That's what He's all about. That's what He's asking us to be all about. And it has to be a rock that's higher than you. As gifted as you are, you need somebody more gifted. You need to be completed by the Lord. I love being completed by Christ and Christ's teachings. I love having that brother that sticks closer, a friend closer than a brother. That's Jesus. That Jesus said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. Lord, give us wisdom. Help us to see the bigger picture when we're dealing with each other. If you're overwhelmed, take some time and pray this prayer. The book of James, one of my favorite things about the book of James is it says, if you lack wisdom, ask for it. And the Lord who gives wisdom liberally will give it to you. That's my paraphrase. There's something about asking that's very important. Jesus said, ask, seek, knock. Ask for things. Ask the Lord for help. Ask the Lord for wisdom. Ask the Lord to give you his love for others. And when you mess up, ask for forgiveness. Receive forgiveness. Accept forgiveness. Know that Jesus died for you on the cross and your sins are forgiven, past, present, and future, and it is finished. Now pick up your cross and follow me, is what Jesus says. And the scripture says that he is faithful even when we are unfaithful. This passage talks about the vows that David had made. But you know, David sometimes violated those vows. He messed up. Somehow God's grace still covered him. Follow him. Pick up your cross and follow him. But if you mess up, you have an advocate. You have a high priest in Jesus. Your sins are forgiven. Don't dwell on your mistakes. Just keep moving because the Lord has a great plan for your life and a great way he wants to use it to bless others. Lord, help us and lead us to the rock that is higher than us. Amen.